Bring a couple of the guys. Maybe bitchy Betty is just bitchy because she needs a good lay. Is she cute?
Violet? I picture her stern face. She's so severe that it's hard to objectively assess her appearance. I guess she's cute, I find the answer. She's got great skin and she's very petite. Like a China doll. Brown eyes, glasses.
Lemming, Blake interrupts. Yeah, Lemming will be all over that. He's got a librarian fetish.
My eyes widen. Really?
Oh, yeah. Every away game, he asks the team manager to try to put us up in a hotel that's got some business conference going on. Then he sits in the bar and waits for a glasses and pantsuit-wearing broad to walk in.
Blake grins.
My friends are the coolest.
Your friends are the weirdest. My teeth dig into my lower lip. I don't know how Violet will feel about hanging out with a bunch of rowdy hockey players.
She'll love it, he assures me. Would you quit biting your lip like that? It's making my dick hard.
Shaking my head, I pick up the knife again and get back to dicing. I should have known you couldn't go 5 minutes without bringing up your stupid dick.
My dick isn't stupid. He's the smartest fella I know.
Blake slides that enormous body off the counter and lazily approaches me. I stiffen, but for some reason I don't move. I just stay put as he slowly eases in behind me, planting both hands on my hips as he nuzzles the nape of my neck. My pulse quickens. Damn it. Why is he so frickin' sexual? Why does he smell so good? I've got an onion right under my nose, yet all I can breathe in is Blake's woodsy scent. Jess. I squeak when his groin tucks up against my butt. Oh my God, he is hard. Unbelievably mouth-wateringly hard. And his erection is so impressive that I choke down a moan. The first and only time he'd slid that huge monster inside me, I almost came on the spot. I'd never felt more full in my entire life.
Jess,
he murmurs again. I find my voice. Hmm? He rotates his hips, and a jolt of desire shoots down to my core.
I haven't had sex since June.
The hoarsely voiced confession startles me. Somehow I don't believe that.
It's the truth. I haven't been with anyone since I went down on you at the wedding.
I'm tempted to turn around so I can look into his eyes, gauge if he's telling the truth. But I'm afraid that if I do, the lust I'll find on his face will shatter my defenses.
I jerk it every night thinking about you,
he rasps, his lips tickling the shell of my ear.
So for the love of God, babe, why don't you put me out of my misery and throw me a bone? You know I'll make it good for you.
I have no doubt about that. My gaze unwittingly travels across the open concept space and lands on the massage chair. Every square inch of my body begins to tingle as dirty, filthy images flood my mind. Blake unzipping his pants while I wiggled out of mine. Blake's teeth sinking into my neck as his hands toyed with my breasts. His low growl of need as he lowered me onto his cock and...
Jess, you here?
Blake and I break apart at Jamie's shout. I immediately pick up the knife while Blake slides to the other side of the counter. My cheeks are hot enough to start a brush fire, and I pray that Jamie doesn't comment on it. My brother enters the kitchen, shrugging out of his fall jacket as he says,
Oh good, you've started dinner. I'm famished.
He glances over.
Hey man, what are you doing here? Wes said there was some team PR meeting after practice.
Blake nods.
It's only for the guys who are playing in the charity tourney. Oh, you're not doing that? I thought you were. Trainers didn't want me to take any chances. You know, because of my bum knee. It'd be stupid to risk re-injuring it for a game that doesn't count for standings. Truth.
As the two of them continue to chat, I keep my gaze on the onion I'm dicing and force my heartbeat to regulate. Thank God Jamie came home when he did. 5 seconds later, and I would have been bent over this counter, presenting myself to Blake like a dog in heat. Jesus. Imagine if my brother had walked in on that. I'd never hear the end of it. Bitch, I'm Canadian. Jess. Wow. You got a special favor from Nurse Haley? Lilith peers at me over the lip of her pint glass, her nose scrunched up. Not so special, I say, hating my defensive tone. She said it wasn't a big deal that I hadn't turned in my observations that same minute. She was happy to have them before class today. I'd sweated it for 48 hours, though, thinking she was going to give me a lecture about turning assignments in on time. Instead, she'd said, I'm glad to see you feeling more upbeat today. That ward always gets to me, too. Nurse Haley's sympathetic look had surprised me. I'm sure I can get used to it. You will, she'd said, but not because you'll be hardened to it, but rather because your work in nursing will become a real balance between the good and the sad. Once you're sure you're making a contribution, the scary stuff gets easier to take. I don't share this wisdom with Violet because I am not in the mood to hear her sour opinion on it, or on anything else. We've been at the bar for 10 minutes, and I'm already certain it's a mistake. Not only do Violet and I have nothing in common, she keeps blatantly showing off all the knowledge she's socked away in her frontal, parietal, occipital, and temporal lobes. There's an anatomy quiz tomorrow on the central nervous system. I think I'm finally ready. It's the first time I've felt confident about classwork this year. Today, Ashley and I read ahead in the anatomy textbook, she announces. Of course they did. Ashley is one of Violet's nerd friends. The circulatory system is going to be a real bitch. All those veins and arteries. It's like 10 times harder than the quiz we're taking tomorrow. And God, Ashley actually confused veins and capillaries today. I mean, I'm sure she'll pull it together before the test, but can you believe it? She gives a little shake of disgust at the idea, while I make a mental note to Google capillaries later. My confidence dissipates like the foam on top of my beer. I'd ordered the least expensive draft they had. The one flaw in Blake's plan to go out drinking with Violet is the fact that the team's favorite bar, Sticks and Stones, isn't cheap. Speaking of Blake, I crane my neck, wondering when he's going to show up. So who's your friend, anyway? Blake Riley? Oh, he's my brother's neighbor. You wouldn't know him, hockey player. Not exactly up on his anatomy. Wait, that wasn't strictly true. Blake is very well-versed in the reproductive organs and, well, my nervous system. Whenever he touches me, oh, my synapses short out. I catch a funny look on Violet's face. What? I ask. Something wrong? She uses a low, hushed voice I've never heard before. You can't be serious. Not that, Blake Riley. Not the Toronto forward. Her eyes become saucer-like. Uh-oh. Have I fucked up yet again? What, you don't like hockey? She gulps. Bitch, I'm Canadian. Of course I like hockey. I love hockey. You can't tell me you know Blake Riley. I shrug. Of course I do. All my Toronto friends are on the hockey team. All your friends, she repeats slowly. What, like that's weird? Slowly, Violet's wide eyes track upwards over my head. Oh, God. She puts both hands to the sides of her face and gasps. A deafening sound booms down from above.
Yo, J-Babe, what are we drinking?
Blake has arrived. But I can't take my eyes off Violet, because something is very wrong with her. She's holding on to her face, and her mouth is flopped open. She's doing Edvard Munch's scream, basically. It's so unusual that I'm instantly uneasy. Hey, are you okay? Why would she hold on to her face? Is there weakness there? Are you stroking out? Shit, what are the signs of stroke? Facial drooping, difficulty speaking? Check and check. But then she thrusts a hand out. Blake Riley, I'm a huge fan of your work. That overtime goal against Pittsburgh in the playoffs was seminal to my existence. I make a note to look up Seminole later. That word must have two meanings. I only know one.
Nice to meet you, too,
Blake says, reaching around me to shake hands with typical Blake-like enthusiasm. I turn to greet him, and he's so close behind me that we're suddenly face to face. Big green eyes blink into mine, and damn it, a sizzle shoots through my chest, tingling through all the various veins and arteries, and maybe even my capillaries, if I knew where those were. Hi, I say stupidly. He winks.
How's it hanging, J-Babe?
Not bad. You? He makes a face and claps a hand on his thick neck.
Got a crick right here. It's nothing a beer won't fix.
He turns away, waving a hand.
Lisa, un beer avec moi?
That's not proper French, I point out.
Baby, I'm very proper when I French.
He grabs my ass on the bar stool, and I slap his hand away. Don't squeeze the Charmin, dude. I'm still watching Violet carefully because she's not quite back to normal. Her eyes are still twice their usual size, although she's talking now.
How on earth do you two know each other?
Well, Jess is fun people, Blake explains,
patting me on the back.
And I like to have fun. Also, her brother is married to my teammate.
Violet grabs her chest. So now I'm thinking the trouble might be cardiac arrest.
Wait, do you mean Ryan, Wesley?
Her eyes practically roll back in her head.
That kind of canning? Your brother is one half of Wesme?
Wesme is a stupid name, I insist, taking a slug of my beer. And here I'd spent all this time thinking Violet was smart. But she's been rendered speechless by the appearance of Blake Riley, who is now explaining that he'd coined the Wesme term.
Always knew I'd go viral someday,
he remarks, stroking his chin.
I thought it would probably be a sex tape or for eating 20 saltines in way under 30 seconds, but you can't choose the way you change popular culture. It chooses you. Je suis un elephant élégant.
She gapes at him.
Hey, Jesse.
I turn and find Wes at my shoulder. With a smile, he leans in and kisses me on the cheek.
I could only stay for one beer. Told Jamie I'd skate with his team at practice tonight. But I have a half hour to spare.
Aw, I hug Wes. That's so nice. Those kids will be pumped up.
Sure. Till I make him do suicide sprints.
He gives an evil laugh.
Who needs a beer?
Violet's hand shoots into the air, stick straight, fingers tensed. Easy, Hermione, I mutter. Class has ended an hour ago. I regret the words as soon as they're out, because Violet actually looks sheepish, which I didn't think was possible on her know-it-all face. So I introduce her to Wes, who buys her a beer, and then to Lemming, who strolls up a few minutes later. Violet almost faints for the third time in 10 minutes, but I'm over it now.
We're heading for Montreal next week for a preseason series,
Wes says, tossing cash onto the bar. Is that why Blake is pretending to speak French?
That would be my guess. Hey, check out Evil Rumi's face.
I steal a glance at Violet, who is rapt. Lemming is holding her hand in both of his, whispering to her. Who knew? Blake enters the conversation with a snort.
It's a basic law of chemistry. Every chick wants a hockey player.
Not hardly, I argue. And I did well in chemistry.
Kids,
Wes warns.
Play nice.
I drink my beer. And then Blake offers me another one, which I accept because he's rich and I'm a poor student who is nice enough to cook his dinner some nights.
What are you drinking?
He asks. When I tell him, he makes a face.
Let's upgrade you. Yo, Lisa!
The bartender approaches, all 5 feet of her. The blue mohawk she's sporting gives her another inch, though. What do you need, Blakey?
My girl Jess needs a beer. What would you recommend?
Lisa tilts her head, appraising me. I think a velvet frog. It's a wheat beer. That's really not my thing. How about... But Blake holds up a hand.
Lisa knows. Trust the process, Jesse.
He and the bartender exchange a glance, and then she moves off to tap me a beer I've never heard of. Was that just a little weird? I whisper to Wes. He grins over his glass.
Sometimes you just gotta roll with this place.
Whatever. Wes leaves for practice a little later, but two more players arrive, Erickson and the new guy, Will O'Connor. Erickson says hello to me, but then parks himself on a stool, diving into conversation with Lisa. It sounds as if she's counseling him on some aspect of his divorce. And anyway, I haven't met O'Connor yet, so I focus on him. I've just had my first month in Toronto, too, I tell him. It's a nice town, right?
It just got nicer, he says in a deep, smoky voice.
Dude, really? I suppress a weary grin. How's that? I wonder how cheesy he'll get if I let him.
Because you're here.
My smile pops free. Uh-huh. So, what else do you like about Toronto?
My new place is killer. I rented a penthouse apartment with a hot tub on the terrace.
Did you now? Inwardly, my eyes are rolling. Hard. O'Connor pops an elbow on the bar and tips his chin onto his hand. He blinks at me, and his lashes are so long, I'm pretty sure I felt a breeze. Will O'Connor is a pretty boy. He's got wavy hair and the aristocratic cheekbones of a Ralph Lauren model. He's beautiful and he knows it. Even the way he's flashing a bicep at me right now feels rehearsed. Sounds like a party, I say. How's your kitchen? That's the one thing I really hate about living in the graduate student dorm. I can't do any cooking.
Oh, I'm not much of a cook. As long as the coffee machine works and the fridge is full of beer, I'm a happy boy.
I see. So the kitchen isn't your favorite room. How about... He lifts his eyebrows and grins at me.
The bedroom, you mean? Most chicks want to know all about my bedroom.
I bet they do, I say with a straight face. He leans in, close enough that his breath tickles my ear.
I can give you a private tour later, or now if you want. I'm happy to ditch these losers.
I jerk at the nip of his teeth against my earlobe. Did he just bite my ear? Before I can lecture him about proper bar etiquette, O'Connor is being pulled backward, courtesy of Blake.
Hands off, Blake says in a low voice. That's Wes's sister.
But the possessive gleam in his eyes makes it clear that any sisterly feelings on his side play no part in this macho posturing.
Chill, bro. Message received.
O'Connor winks at me before drifting over to Erickson. What the hell was that? I hiss at Blake.
Good question. You go first.
He crosses his huge arms over his chest. I'm not allowed to talk to your teammates?
Talk all you want. But flirting ain't allowed, honey.
Seriously. I'll flirt with whomever I want, I shoot back.
Aw, you really think that?
He smiles.
That's so sweet.
I don't get a chance to respond because he slides under the stool next to mine, and now he's the one whispering in my ear. The sound is so low and dirty that chills break out across my back.
Baby, if I don't get to fuck you... Nobody else gets to fuck you, especially O'Connor. That dude lays one finger on you and I'll tie him to the net at the rink and practice my slap shot on him.
My eyebrows soar. Well, aren't we bloodthirsty?
Thirsty, period. And hungry. So goddamn hungry.
As warm lips brush the side of my neck, my panicky gaze darts toward Violet and the others. They're not paying any attention to us, though. My roommate is engrossed in whatever Lemming is saying to her, and Erickson and O'Connor are chatting up a pair of brunettes now. If you're that in need of nourishment, go order another beer and some nachos. My tone is as indifferent as I can muster. I'm sure that'll solve the problem.
Only one thing's gonna solve this problem.
Blake corrects. His gaze lowers to his crotch, and God help me, but I look down too. Yep, he's hard. It looks like he shoved a 40 of beer down there and tried to smuggle it into the bar. Why does his dumb dick have to be so stupidly big? I take a deep swallow of beer and then hop off my stool. Gotta use the ladies, I lie. It's either that, or keep sitting here next to Blake and fight the urge to undo his pants. I scurry away before he can answer. The corridor that leads to the restrooms has two long lines. I stand behind a tall blonde, under the pretense that I indeed have to pee, which I don't, though I probably will by the time this line reaches the bathroom.
Basic math. Blake. I wait for Jess outside the Jill. When she emerges, I pounce. Even though I don't mean to startle her, she gives a little squeak of surprise when I clamp a hand around her arm and tow her toward the back door. I push it open, making tracks toward my Hummer, while she sputters out a question. What? Blake, I wasn't ready to leave. So don't leave, but you and I need a minute alone. We really don't. She could not be more wrong. It's blissfully quiet out here, so I angle her against the door of my oversized car. We weren't done talking. You're never done talking, she mutters back. All you do is talk, you big motor mouth. I grin down at her. Did you just call me a motor mouth? Yes, because you are. I use my mouth for more than just talking, I remind her. But you already knew that. Remember back in March? All that begging you did about what I should do with my mouth? Her cheeks flame. I told you it was a one-time thing. I slant my head. In the wedding? Also a one-time thing. 1 + 1 = 2, babe. Gee, congrats, you can do basic math. She presses her palms to my chest to try to move me, but I can see the precise moment she gets distracted by the knowledge that she's touching me. Her touch softens, and she takes a shaky breath. I lean in until our bodies are touching everywhere. Look, it's cool. This can be another one-time thing. This? Her brown eyes lift toward mine. Yeah, this. And then my mouth crushes hers. Not a second passes before she grabs onto my shoulders and tugs me closer. Our tongues meet, and Jess shivers in my arms. I work it slowly, dragging my tongue across hers, devouring her bit by bit. Suddenly her hips are rocking against me, her legs sliding up to hook around my hip. I am ridiculously hard. The fly of these jeans is in danger of exploding like my Aunt Judy's pressure cooker last Easter. Boom! Boom? Jess mumbles against my lips. I must have said that out loud. We need more room, I improvise, expecting to be shot down, but her hand shoots out to the side and grabs the handle of the back door of my truck. I help her open it, because I'm polite like that, and 2 seconds later we're sliding onto the seat and I'm yanking the door shut behind me. I tug her onto my lap and dive right back into her sweet mouth. She moans so loudly it vibrates my tinted windows. Did I mention how sweet my ride is? Jess's hand sneaks under my untucked shirt and onto my abs. This won't become a usual thing, she mutters between kisses. No, I agree. The fact that we're on the same page is awesome. I don't do relationships. We do another swan dive into a kiss deeper than a mine shaft. I grab her ass in both hands and give it a nice, filthy squeeze. It's a study break, she pants. A little stress relief, I assure her as I slide my hands underneath her shirt and unclip her bra and back. I grab her top and yank it over her head, then toss it into the front seat. The bra follows. Then I've got 2 hands full of boobalicious goodness. Jess has the sweetest tits. I just want to press my face between them and make motorboat noises. But I forget all about that idea when her hands drop to my fly. She unbuttons my jeans and then yanks on the zipper. It's only partially successful because my jeans are as tight as fuck right now, and she's sitting on me. I help her out because I'm fun like that. And a second later, she's got one of her smooth little hands wrapped around my cock. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I start to mumble. Then I cup her head and pull her to me again. She wiggles away. I want a taste, she whispers, ducking lower. Before I can even respond, there's a pair of soft lips dropping kisses on my cockhead. I stop breathing. Then she licks the sensitive place on the underside. Fuck, baby. Get up here. She shakes her stubborn head. I want to give you a Hummer in your Hummer. I let out a laugh and wind her hair around my hand. I'll give her a couple of minutes, I guess. Fair's fair. Her hot mouth takes the crown in, and I gasp. It's so, so good. She sucks hard and wraps her hand around my base, her fingertips teasing my balls. Tipping my head back against the headrest, I wait, pleasure coursing through my body. It takes a few minutes, but eventually Jess looks up at me, panting. I can't get much of it.
I know, baby, nobody can. Good of you to try, though.
Come here. I beckon. She gives her silky hair a toss. No, I hate failure. She leans over and kisses my tip again. Mmm, she murmurs, tonguing me. My hips pulse with longing. The sight of her pink tongue lapping at me is crazy hot. You fucking kill me, I groan. Come here already. This time, I don't wait to be obeyed. I place my hands under her arms and haul her up until she's straddling me again. It's tricky work, but I jam a hand into my back pocket and fish out my wallet. I open it on her knee and yank out the condom that I keep there. Jess gives a little shiver. Never meant to do this tonight. Don't overthink it. I tear the packet and roll the rubber onto my aching dick. You just need a little recharge on my docking station. Our eyes meet. Time stands still for one perfect second. Then we both explode with laughter. Jess honks like a duck and then clutches her side and I'm howling. She grabs my shoulders to steady herself and we're both still cracking up. I wrap my arms around her and bury my face in her silky neck trying to calm down, but the laughter ripples through us for another couple of minutes. Eventually we're left with just the odd titter. She's smiling at me and I'm grinning back at her. She gulps back another laugh. Dull moment with you, huh, Blake? Her boobs jiggle when she laughs, and I suddenly remember how badly I want her. Nope. I cup one of her tits and stroke gently. Not dull. Her expression gets a little hazy and soft. She leans in and kisses me. Man, this is some really sweet stuff right here. My arms are full of the prettiest girl in Toronto. She's a good friend and a great lay. How rare is that? I'm not worried that I'll see a picture of my bare ass on Twitter tonight, or what the fuck ever. Maybe Jess and I don't always see things the same way, but she's honest with me, even when I wish she wasn't. And right now, what's honest about her is how she's rubbing herself like a cat in heat on my chest as we make out. Jesse, I whisper against her lips. I want you so bad. Let me have you. Mm-hmm. She grunts. I reach under the short skirt she's wearing and find a tiny pair of underwear that I quickly tug off. Now, baby, I urge. Do it. She lifts herself onto her knees and I line up at heaven's entrance. Then she's sliding down slowly. We lock eyes. Her mouth makes a perfect O as she lets out a moan. That's it. I encourage her. Fuck yeah. She's hot. And tight and perfect. She leans in and I have to kiss her. I'm in heaven and I'm desperate. So I guess I'm hesperate. I roll my hips and suck on her tongue and everything is awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, fuck, she mumbles, beginning to ride me. You feel... Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I know. I brace my feet and meet her stroke for stroke. Fuck me just like that. So hot. No, hot doesn't even begin to describe the visual I have right now. Her tits bounce as she moves, the ends of her silky hair brushing my pecs. I'll probably never bother with porn again after tonight. I can just relive this. A turned-on girl getting herself off on my cock, her brow creased with pleasure. My balls tighten up just watching her. She takes a deep breath and grips my shoulders, hard. Oh, Blake, she pants. My name on her lips makes me feel like a superhero. I'm so close it hurts. Grasping her hips, I pump her body harder onto mine. Jess gives a little shout of pleasure followed by a whimper. The sound she makes just knocks me over. Every breathy little pant and throaty moan goes straight to my happy dick. And then she's groaning and shuddering, clenching my cock like a vice. Fuck yeah. I lever my body off the seat and pound into her. Release breaks over me like a wave. With a growl, I impale her once, twice. Boom.
Jess. It's quiet again, save for the sound of my pounding heart. I'm naked, except for my skirt that's bunched up around my waist. I'm in the back of Blake's car, and I'm still on his giant... Yikes. When I give in to temptation, I really give in. There's obviously a masochist living somewhere inside me, because instead of pushing him away, I dove onto his dick. Damn this man. Even now he seeks out my lips with his. He's such a great kisser. Slow and seductive, but utterly relentless. Until 5 minutes ago, I hadn't had sex since the spring. Since Blake. My body obviously rebelled from the lengthy dry spell. I'm so disgustingly weak. And he's so disgustingly sexy. I gathered the last threads of my dignity and disengage all our various body parts. Moving onto the seat beside Blake, I spot my panties on the floor. Grabbing them gives me a good reason to avoid eye contact. One big hand curls around my hair.
Hey, J-Babe.
Hmm? I keep busy so I don't have to look at him. But he waits me out.
Jess,
he says softly. Giving in, I turn my chin.
You're the coolest girl I know.
His eyes light up when he smiles at me. That smile brings a little flutter to my chest. It shouldn't, though. That's insane. We're not making this a regular habit, I say for my own good. His grin doesn't slip.
No kidding, but it sure was awesome. Does my truck rule or what?
I glance around. Thank God for the darkly tinted windows. Your truck is bigger than my dorm room, I'm pretty sure.
Aw,
he fusses with my hair.
You want me to drive you home?
I cringe, wondering if Violet thinks I've been kidnapped. I have to find the evil roommate. Wandering off with Blake has wrecked all my plans to bond with Violet. Nice going, Jess. He reaches into the front seat with his giant arm.
Here's your double-barreled slingshot. And your shirt.
I hurriedly put my bra on, and he does something with the condom. I hear the crinkle of a plastic bag, and I don't ask questions. A few minutes later, he opens the door.
Coast is clear, I think.
I emerge, shaking myself off. Do I look like a girl who just bounced on your dick in the parking lot?
You look fabulous, as always. I'll walk you inside. If Violet asks where you've been, I'll make up a story. I'll tell her that a giant squid attacked. Or pirates.
Good thinking, I scoff. We head inside, but Blake stops in the middle of the hallway before we can reach the main room. He fishes his phone out, studies it, then grumbles out a curse. What's wrong? I ask.
Nothing.
He shoves the phone back in his pocket.
Okie dokie.
We take about 5 more steps and then he halts again.
I need a favor,
he blurts out. I turn around with a sigh. I already had sex with you. Doesn't that fulfill my favor quota for the night? He snorts.
If anyone was doing someone a favor out there, it was me. To your vajayjay.
I roll my eyes. Uh-huh, sure. Now tell me what you want or I'm walking away.
I need a date.
Exasperation shoots through me. Did he not hear a word I said in the Hummer? We're not making this a habit. And we're certainly not going on a date. Absolutely not, I announce. His green eyes narrow.
Wipe that horrified look off your face, J-Babe. A date with me is like a trip to Disneyland. You'd fucking love it, because everyone loves Disneyland. Anyway, that's not what I meant. It's a fake date, okay?
Well, now I'm confused. A fake date? He nods glumly.
My ma just texted to remind me that my sister's baby shower is this weekend. It's a lunch thing. My family will be there. Some friends.
He pauses just long enough for my guard to rise. Friends, huh? I wonder which friend is responsible for the very uncharacteristic deer-in-the-headlights look on Blake's face. You want me to go to a family event with you?
Hell no.
I'm not sure I feel comfortable with that. I won't know anyone there.
You'll know me,
he protests, looking offended.
Besides, you owe me. I'm the one doing all the favors. The smoke and sex, you're welcome. And telling you how to bond with your roomie. I've done you two solids.
He shrugs.
It's your turn.
His logic is in no way sound. But I can't deny that his idea to bring Violet to the bar had been a good one. Granted, I've ignored her for the past, 30 minutes. But we seem to be connecting before that.
Please,
he presses.
It'll really help me out if you came along. That way, the fam might finally get off my case.
What are they on your case about? I ask curiously.
They think I need a wife.
I squeak in alarm. I am not going to pretend that we're engaged.
Didn't ask you to. I told you it's just a date. I'll tell them you're my girlfriend. They'll be happy as clams, and in a few weeks, I'll say you dumped me or something.
He mimics my earlier words.
It's a one-time thing.
Despite my reluctance, I find myself nodding. Fine, I'll do it. He brightens. But it's not a real date, I say hastily. It's just a favor for a friend, okay? Blake leans in and smacks a kiss on my cheek.
You're the bestest friend ever, Jesse.
Then he sucks my earlobe between his lips and murmurs,
Plus, you're fun to fuck.
I shove him away. You're incorrigible. When we walk back into the bar, I find Violet swaying on a bar stool, her face enraptured as she listens to Will O'Connor boast about how many teams he's played on. Violet, I ask carefully, are you okay?
Yeah,
she hiccups. I had a few beers.
Uh-huh. I'll take her home,
Lemming pipes up from Violet's other side. Sorry, stud, I say firmly. I don't think tonight's your night. I hold out a hand to Violet, who looks a little green. Come on, roomie, time to go.
I'll drive you guys home,
Blake offers. It sounds much better than dragging my drunk roommate onto the subway, so I take him up on it. What's one more ride from Blake Riley tonight?
Mountain out of a molehill. Jess. It's Sunday afternoon and we're zipping along a nice suburban road in Blake's Hummer. I could high-five myself for keeping my eyes straight ahead. I haven't snuck any looks into the back seat, not even once. But I swear I got all hot and bothered the second this vehicle pulled up in front of the dorm. My body has a thing for Blake's ride. Or, let's be honest, Blake. So, who am I meeting today? I'm not watching the muscles in his forearm flex as he drives. Not much, anyway.
The shower's for Brenna. My other two sisters will also be there, Beth and Britt. Two of them are married, including the pregnant one.
He chuckles.
Mom is over the moon. She's bought out the baby store already, so my sister's gonna end up with four of everything. I mean, what does a baby really need? A bed and a hockey stick. The end.
Hysterical. So then, what did you get the baby?
A hockey stick? Duh. And I paid for some fancy stroller. The Hummer of strollers, supposedly.
Nice. A few more miles rolled by. Do you get along with your folks? I ask curiously.
Oh, of course. They're awesome.
Something just doesn't add up. I can't figure out why Blake would need a fake date for a family party. Unless there's someone else giving him the willies. Who else am I meeting? Anyone I should look out for? Any exes? And he flinches. That bad, huh? Blake scowls.
It's no big deal.
Right. Is she the reason you suddenly needed a girlfriend? Just level with me, and this will be easier to pull off. What's her name? He sighs.
Molly. She's my sister Brenna's best friend. I don't see her that often, but sometimes she gets all clingy.
But if I'm there, she'll back off,
She'll have to, he grunts.
We turn down a tree-lined street in some area called Brampton. It's lush and pretty in a way that's completely different from California. I know nothing of Ontario, I realize. And this short break from my textbooks is a welcome reprieve, even if I was secretly brought here to defend Blake from the sharpened talons of an ex. You should have warned me, I say quietly. Then I immediately feel guilty because I tried to pass off Dyson as my boyfriend at Jamie's wedding. Hypocritical much? He parks a car at the curb of a sprawling house with pink and blue balloons tied to the mailbox. There are potted mums on the front porch and a hedgerow of sunflowers. I love it already. Blake snaps the keys from the ignition and turns to me.
Look, I'm sorry I didn't say anything. I really appreciate you coming with me today.
His green eyes look uncertain, and it's an expression I so rarely see on his face that I can't help but melt a little. Blake Riley's confidence has slipped? Call 911 and administer CPR. I reach up and pat his cheekbone. Am I allowed to have a little fun with it? Can I make up a story about our first date?
Go nuts, girlfriend.
He grins, making his face instantly more familiar.
I told him we met when we were both looking after Jamie. But I skipped the part about taking off my pants and daring you to find out if Wesley's massage chair would turn my dick into a real-life vibrator.
All my nether regions give a big shimmy at the memory.
Gah.
Blake points his finger at me like a gun.
Keep that expression.
He winks.
You're very convincing with that sexed-up look in your eye.
I frown on purpose. I do not look sexed up. Nobody here is sexed up. The back seat laughs behind me. Blake doesn't bother arguing the point. He gets out of his monster truck and comes around to my side, opening the door with a flourish.
Come and meet the Rileys, girlfriend.
The house is chaos inside. Blake steers me into the kitchen, where at least a half dozen women buzz around like bees. Though it's no trouble identifying the Riley sisters. One of them is hugely pregnant, but the other two are just as easy to pick out. The female editions of Blake are basketball player tall, with wide shoulders and even wider smiles. They wear floral patterned dresses in different colors, and I can't decide if the similarity is intentional. In contrast, I look positively bashful in my little blue sleeveless dress. They don't notice our arrival, because they're clucking over a giant bakery box that just arrived.
Oh my God, the pregnant sister shrieks. These are the best thing ever.
I stand on my tiptoes for a peek in the box. Row upon row of beautiful cupcakes wait, each frosted with a cloud of white icing and a single chocolate sperm swimming across the top.
Damn, those are scary,
Blake crows. Head swivel, and then the clucking hits a deafening pitch as his three sisters charge him.
Blakey, he's here. Have a beer.
Instinctively, I engage in defensive maneuvers, ducking behind Blake's bulk to avoid being trampled. With a cheerful roar, he lifts each of his sisters off their feet in turn.
Let the fertility festivities begin. Where did you say the beer was?
I'll get you one, a sister volunteers. It's easy to see that Blake is well-loved by his family.
Bring two, he says. I brought someone to meet you all, and she's probably thirsty.
He turns his head left and right, wondering where he's misplaced me, so I duck under his arm to show myself. His fingers graze the bare skin of my shoulder.
Girls, this is Jess, my girlfriend.
The room goes so quiet so fast that at first I think I'm suffering some kind of audiological anomaly. But then I see the surprise crisscrossing all the women's faces. One of Blake's not-pregnant sisters has her hand on the refrigerator door, but she's forgotten to open it. Instead, she's staring at me, jaw dropped like a hungry grouper. The silence is as deep as the Pacific, and I use the time to study all the shocked faces. Besides the sisters, there are two or three more women gaping at me. One in particular. She's got springy curls that frame her pixie face, has slapped a hand over her mouth in dismay.
Girls, hello,
Blake prompts. His palm strokes my shoulder absently.
Come over here and meet Jesse. Jesus.
Sorry. The sister at the fridge recovers first. She crosses the room on giraffe's legs and grabs my hand, giving it a bruising shake. I'm Britt, the youngest of us four. It's so nice to meet you, she says, pumping my hand. Blake didn't tell us he was seeing anyone. She lifts big eyes, green like her brother's, to Blake, and there's a question in them.
I'm doing that now, he answers, sounding grumpy. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehole.
Molehill, I correct.
Nah, J-Babe, that can't be right. Moles dig underground. They don't build shit.
Oh, for God's sake. But the dirt they kick up out of the lawn gets... I see at least a dozen eyes on me, and they're burning with curiosity. Never mind, I mumble, and Blake chuckles.
Beer, he asks. There's probably some girly white wine around, too.
Beer would be awesome, I say quickly, and keep 'em coming. I meet both of his other sisters and then Blake's dad. To say that Mr. Riley isn't what I expected is an understatement. Blake is 6 inches taller than his father, and he outweighs him by at least 100 pounds. Mr. Riley shakes my hand as politely as a school principal, and then he steals a sperm cupcake out of the box and slides quietly out of the room. Just when I'm ready to declare the science of genetics a fraud, there's a great pounding of feet, and an enormous woman launches herself at us.
Blakey! Oof,
my faux boyfriend says, catching her.
Easy, Ma. Good to see you, too.
It's been 9 days since you came home for dinner, she hollers.
But who's counting?
He grins.
I made brisket.
You need protein if you're gonna pound Montreal into tiny bits of dust.
Awesome, he says. Hey, Mom. This is Jess, my girlfriend.
I brace myself as Blake's mother turns to inspect me. Unlike Blake's sisters, she doesn't gasp or express shock and dismay. She does, however, look me over from head to toe, as if I'm a brisket she might purchase, depending on whether or not I'm worthy. Nice to meet you, I say in a shaky voice, extending a hand. Her giant mitt closes over mine. She has a handshake like Mike Tyson's.
Welcome to our home, Jessica. How long have you known my boy?
Since March. He and my brother are friends.
6 months,
Mrs. Riley muses, arching an eyebrow.
And what is your favorite thing about him?
Just as my traitorous brain offers up a truly inappropriate image, Blake jumps in to rescue me.
Mom, Jesse hasn't gotten the tour yet. We'll catch up with you in a little while.
His mother frowns, unhappy with this interruption. I get the feeling she'd rather pull me into a windowless interrogation room for a little truth serum and waterboarding. Blake's hand closes around mine. He passes me one of the 2 beers he's collected, and I take a deep swig as we make our escape out a pretty set of French doors and into the backyard.
Jesus, Blake gasps when we make it outside.
Jay, babe, I'm sorry. I didn't know they'd go all DEFCON 4 if I brought someone home with me.
When's the last time you had a girlfriend? I ask.
5 years ago.
Okay. The puzzle pieces are sliding together in my head. So you broke up with what's-her-name and then stopped dating entirely?
Pretty much, he says gruffly. Check this out.
He sweeps his hand across a gorgeous yard with a shimmering pool at the far end.
We dug this ourselves the year I was 14. It was a blast.
Looks like fun, too. There's a basketball net at one end of the pool, and I can just picture all the larger Rileys battling over it together. On the surface, Blake's home and mine look nothing alike, but I feel a familiar big family vibe here, and it's comforting to me. That weirdness in the kitchen really wasn't so bad. Nice place you got here, Blakey. I hook my arm in his. Show me some more. He takes me to the pool house, with its refrigerator full of Canadian beers. We return to find that the baby shower is just getting going in the huge sunroom off the kitchen. Guests are arriving in ones and twos, piling gifts on one table and sampling appetizers on another.
Let's find you something to eat,
Blake says, rubbing the small of my back.
I know my mom is a little much, but she's a damned good cook.
Sounds great. He hands me a plate, and I help myself to a mini quiche and a deviled egg. His sister Britt gallops over, smiling at me. There's a lot more food right in there, she says, indicating the dining table through the French doors.
and we're playing a party game.
Quarters? Blake guesses.
Beer pong?
His sister rolls her eyes. No, Blakey. She doesn't even have to stand on her tiptoes to attach something to his shirt pocket. It's a safety pin with a tiny blue ribbon on it. She hands me one with a pink ribbon. For the whole party, you can't say the word baby. If you do, you forfeit your pin to whoever heard you say it first. There's a prize for the person who has the most pins at the end.
Beer pong is funner, Blake argues.
She pats his chest. Eat some brisket. Make Mom happy. We queue up for the buffet. The Riley dining table practically sags under the weight of all the food on it. As I load up my plate, Blake gets pulled into a discussion with his brother-in-law about the team's chances for the season. On the other side of the room, the curly-haired girl from the kitchen stands holding her plate. She's listening to Brenna and shooting me dirty looks at the same time. That has to be Blake's ex, and I find myself studying her. She's cute, with big brown eyes and a heart-shaped face. The only ugly thing about her is the sour expression. Blake gives my ass a squeeze, and I realize he's prompting me to move forward. I take a chunk of the famous Riley brisket and a soft buttered roll. Looking at the food, I'm suddenly starving. For a month, I haven't eaten all that well. Meals with Wes and Jamie are always terrific. But otherwise, I scarf down a lot of takeout with the window open, so Violet won't sense how often I violate her no-food rule. She's softened up to me, though. I thought there was only one way to impress her, medical knowledge. But now I know there, too. Since I introduced her to the team, she now looks at me like I'm someone worth knowing, which is just bonkers.
Should've used two plates, Blake comments.
When I look, his is practically overflowing. You can stash something on mine, I offer.
Aw, thanks, J-babe.
Whoa, I get your pin. Cough it up, big guy.
What?
He adds another roll to my plate and follows it up with a pat of butter the size of a hockey puck.
I didn't say the B word.
You did.
Babe isn't the same.
A dozen Christmas tunes beg to differ.
Fine, baby. Take it.
With a smile, he kisses me on the forehead.
But if it wasn't for your little technicality, I would have won big. The word baby isn't even in my vocabulary.
A gasp of dismay erupts from the other side of the room, and I don't have to look to know who made it. We carry our plates to the seating area, and Blake sets us up at a table with a couple of chairs left.
I'll get silverware, he says after I'm seated.
But before he's taken more than a few steps toward the kitchen, his pregnant sister grabs his elbow.
What were you thinking? Brenna hisses.
I was thinking I'd get my girlfriend some silverware and a glass of water.
Blake removes his arm from her grasp, an indignant look on his face. Her glare is deadly.
Your timing sucks, bro. A baby shower is when you decide to spring the girlfriend on us? With Molly watching? She's very vulnerable right now.
Blake's jaw hardens.
It's been 5 years, Bren. Do I look vulnerable? Jesus.
He stomps off, and I'm still staring at the doorway where he disappeared when I realize someone across the table has said my name.
Jessica!
My gaze snaps over to find Mama Riley watching me.
Sorry, what?
Did she just bust me watching the Riley family drama?
Don't worry about that, she says, waving a hand as if swatting away a fly. My daughter is all hopped up on pregnancy hormones.
I stutter. I have a big family too, 5 siblings. There's always one drama or another.
Do you now?
She sets her glass down, and I see her chilled toward me, thawing a little.
Tell me about yourself. What are your plans for the future?
I'm a nursing student. I study all the time. That's pretty much it. Her eyes narrow.
And you're dating my son, who's friends with your brother?
Right, I say quickly. My brother is married to Ryan Wesley. They live in the same building as Blake.
Ah,
Mama Riley looks happier.
Good arm on Wesley. Excellent reflexes.
Yeah, now we're talking hockey. I have whiplash, I think. Blake sits down again, and he's his usual buoyant self. The food is, as Blake promised, terrific. I tell Mama Riley this, and she beams.
Playing the part of the good girlfriend, I gather our dishes when we're through. I'll just pop these into the kitchen, honey, I offer, laying it on a little thick. Do you need another beer or coffee? Does Blake drink coffee? Fuck, I should have done my homework.
I would love a cup, he says. Black, of course,
he winks. Of course. I jump up and take my leave. In the kitchen, I rinse our plates and pop them into the biggest dishwasher I've ever seen. Then I pour two cups of coffee from the big urn on the counter. Just around the corner, a tearful conversation catches my ear. It's hard, someone sniffs. I know, another female voice soothes. Your baby would have turned 4 just next month. They would have been cousins. A chill climbs up my neck. Could she mean? Grasping the cups carefully, I walk off, keeping my back to the whispering women. But I can't resist. When I'm a safe distance away, I turn my head. Sure enough, it's Molly and Brenna, their heads bent close together in conversation. I have a million questions, at least. But for some reason, the first one that pops into my mind is, will Brenna now forfeit the collection of game pins on her dress?
The Godzilla Roar. Blake. Sweet Jesus, I've almost done it. If this baby shower were a baseball game, then I'd be stretching my legs toward home plate right now. Sure, there were a couple of hiccups getting to first, second, and third, like the fact that Molly was glaring at Jess all afternoon, and the suspicious looks my mom kept throwing my way. And I may have pissed off Brenna a wee bit. But I rounded those bases, and now I'm sliding to home plate about to be free of the tension that's been coiled up inside me since. Blake, can we talk for a second? Shitballs. I almost dive back into the bathroom when I find Molly waiting for me in the hall. Fuck. Why did I have to duck inside to take a piss? I should have just held it until I got home. Or used that empty Gatorade bottle on the floor of my Hummer. Jess would have probably thrown up, but the fast getaway would have been worth her repulsion. But now I'm stuck, and Molly's staring at me with that sad, doe-eyed look she's perfected over the years. Jess and I need to take off, I say awkwardly. Can we do this some other time? Why didn't you tell me you were seeing someone? I guess we're doing it now. Swallowing my annoyance, I try to think of a suitable answer. Why didn't I tell her I was seeing someone? Well, first and foremost, because it's none of her fucking business. But that's too harsh, right? Too harsh? Maybe because we broke up 5 years ago? Damn it. Still harsh. Because I'm not an angry guy, but every time I see you or hear your name, I want to hulk out and smash an entire metropolitan city. Okay, even worse. There's nothing I can say that'll appease her. The best I can come up with is, it's new. 6 months isn't new. Her cheeks redden when she realizes she's yelling. She quickly lowers her voice. A heads up would have been nice, Blake. You knew I was going to be here today. I would have appreciated a warning that you were bringing someone, she says tightly. My voice is equally terse. No offense, Maul, but I don't owe you any warnings. It's been 5 years. Shouldn't be a shocker that I'm dating other people. Her lips part in dismay. Then she blinks rapidly, and I prepare myself for the inevitable tears. You don't have to be, blink, blink, cruel about it, she whispers, blink, blink, blink. After everything we've been through, blink, blink, I deserve more than that. And cue the tears. They cling to her dark lashes for a second before slipping free and streaming down her cheeks. I pray that none of my sisters walk in right now because they're all super protective of Molly. If they saw that I'd made her cry, they'd kick my ass to next Sunday. Molly, I shove both hands in my pockets. I'm not going to touch this woman, not going to comfort her. You need to move on. Her tear-filled eyes widen. I have moved on. No, you haven't, but it's time for it, honey. My hands slide out of my pockets and dangle at my sides. I'm sorry, but I can't do this right now. Take care of yourself. Then I lumber past her without a backward look. Am I an asshole? Maybe. Do I fucking care? Nope. Molly is lucky to be here. One word from me and there'd be no more invites to these kind of events.
my family knew what she'd done, they wouldn't even let her approach the front door. Jess is waiting for me in the parlor, toying with the end of her ponytail. She looks up at my approach, sees my face, and asks, "Everything okay?" "It's all peaches and cream. Come on, we're outie." We already said our goodbyes to the fam, so there's nothing stopping me from taking her arm and dragging her toward the truck. "Chill out," she grumbles, shrugging off my hand. "I know how to walk by myself." I practically fling myself into the driver's seat and have the engine running and the gear shift in drive before Jess is even buckled up. Her seatbelt snaps into place as I leave my parents' house in my dust. The sight of my childhood home in the rearview mirror pisses me off. I love that house. It's mine. Total bullshit right there. That Molly is driving me away from my own house. "Blake, slow down. You're going too fast." I ease up on the accelerator. Shit, I'm all riled up. Rileyed up, if you will. I chuckle at the new phrase I've coined. Or maybe it's not a chuckle so much as hysterical laughter. "Okay, now you're just freaking me out," Jess announces. "Pull over, I mean it." I do it. Maybe it's her tone of voice. It's sharp and commanding, like when my mom used to order me to clean my room or else she'd stop paying for my hockey gear. I park at the curb and stare straight ahead. We're at the end of my parents' street, and I hope nobody from the party drives by and stops to ask what the hell we're doing. "Get out," Jess orders. "I'm driving." And again, I listen to the lady, and I don't even ask if she's capable of driving such a powerful machine, because I'm not so far gone that I don't realize she'd slap me silly for being sexist. We switch seats, but Jess doesn't start the engine. She studies me silently before letting out a heavy breath. "I know what's going on here, so you don't have to pretend." I furrow my brow.
"What are you talking about?"
"I know why you're upset," she clarifies.
"Sorry, babe, but I doubt it."
Jess stubbornly juts her chin. "I do know, or at least some of it." A sheepish look crosses her face. "I overheard Brenna and Molly talking.